today was not the leaves, but power. Your power, Don Juan. I suppose you could say that it was my power, although that's not really accurate. Power doesn't belong to anyone. Some of us may gather it, and then it could be given directly to someone else. You see, the key to stored power is that it can be used only to help someone else store power. I asked him if that meant that his power was limited only to helping others. Don Juan patiently explained that he could use his personal power however he pleased, in anything he himself wanted, but when it came to giving it directly to another person, it was useless unless that person utilized it for his own search of personal power. Everything a man does hinges on his personal power, Don Juan went on. Therefore, for one who doesn't have any, the deeds of a powerful man are incredible. It takes power to even conceive what power is. This is what I've been trying to tell you all along. But I know you don't understand, not because you don't want to, but because you have very little personal power. What should I do, Don Juan?
Nothing.
Just proceed as you are now. Power will find a way. He stood up and turned around in a complete circle, staring at everything in the surroundings. His body moved at the same time his eyes moved. The total effect was that of a hieratic mechanical toy that turned in a complete circle in a precise and unaltered movement. I looked at him with my mouth open. He hid a smile, cognizant of my surprise. "Today you're going to hunt power in the darkness of the day," he said, and sat down. "I beg your pardon?" "Tonight, you'll venture into those unknown hills. In the darkness, they are not hills."
"What are they?"
"They're something else. Something unthinkable for you, since you've never witnessed their existence."
"What do you mean, Don Juan? You always scare me with that spooky talk."
He laughed and kicked my calf softly. "The world is a mystery," he said, "and it's not at all as you picture it." He seemed to reflect for a moment. His head bobbed up and down with a rhythmical shake. Then he smiled and added, "Well, it is also as you picture it, but that's not all there is to the world. There's much more to it. You have been finding that out all along, and perhaps tonight you'll add one more piece."
His tone sent a chill through my body. "What are you planning to do?"
"I don't plan anything. All is decided by the same power that allowed you to find this spot."
Don Juan got up and pointed to something in the distance. I assumed that he wanted me to stand up and look. I tried to jump to my feet, but before I'd fully stood up, Don Juan pushed me down with great force.
"I didn't ask you to follow me," he said in a severe voice.
Then he softened his tone and added, "You're going to have a difficult time tonight, and you'll need all the personal power you can muster. Stay where you are, and save yourself for later." He explained that he wasn't pointing at anything, but just making sure that certain things were out there. He assured me that everything was all right, and said that I should sit quietly and get busy, because I had a lot of time to write before total darkness had set in the land. His smile was contagious and very comforting. "But what are we going to do, Don Juan?" He shook his head from side to side in an exaggerated gesture of disbelief.
"Right!"
he commanded me, and turned his back to me. There was nothing else for me to do. I worked on my notes until it was too dark to write. Don Juan maintained the same position all the time I was working. He seemed to be absorbed in staring into the distance towards the west. But as soon as I stopped, he turned to me and said in a joking tone that the only ways to shut me up were to give me something to eat, or make me write, or put me to sleep. He took a small bundle from his knapsack and ceremoniously opened it. It contained pieces of dry meat. He handed me a piece and took another for himself and began to chew on it. He casually informed me that it was power food, which both of us needed on that occasion. I was too hungry to think about the possibility that the dry meat may have contained a psychotropic substance. We ate in complete silence until there was no more meat, and by that time it was quite dark. Don Juan stood up and stretched his arms and back. He suggested I should do the same. He said it was a good practice to stretch the entire body after sleeping, sitting, or walking. I followed his advice, and some of the leaves I had kept under my shirt slid through the legs of my pants. I wondered if I should try to pick them up, but he said to forget about it, that there was no longer any need for them and that I should let them fall as they might. Then Don Juan came very close to me and whispered in my right ear that I was supposed to follow him at very close range and imitate everything he did. He said that we were safe on the spot where we stood, because we were, so to speak, at the edge of the night. "This is not the night," he whispered, stomping on the rock where we were standing. "The night is out there." He pointed to the darkness all around us. He then checked my carrying net to see if the food gourds and my writing pads were secured, and in a soft voice said that a warrior always made sure that everything was in proper order, not because he believed that he was going to survive the ordeal he was about to undertake, but because that was part of his impeccable behavior. Instead of making me feel relieved, his admonitions created the complete certainty that my doom was approaching. I wanted to weep. Don Juan was, I was sure, completely aware of the effect of his words. "Trust your personal power," he said in my ear. "That's all one has in this whole mysterious world." He pulled me gently, and we started to walk. He took the lead a couple of steps ahead of me. I followed him with my eyes fixed on the ground. Somehow, I didn't dare to look around, and focusing my sight on the ground made me feel strangely calm. It almost mesmerized me. After a short walk, Don Juan stopped. He whispered that total darkness was near, and that he was going to get ahead of me, but was going to give me his position by imitating the cry of a specific small owl. He reminded me that I already knew that his particular imitation was raspy at the beginning, and then it became as mellow as the cry of a real owl. He warned me to be deadly aware of other owl cries which did not bear that mark. By the time Don Juan finished giving me all those instructions, I was practically panic-stricken. I grabbed him by the arm and wouldn't let go. It took 2 or 3 minutes for me to calm myself enough so I could articulate my words. A nervous ripple ran along my stomach and abdomen and kept me from talking coherently. In a calm, soft voice, he urged me to get hold of myself, because the darkness was like the wind, an unknown entity at large that could trick me if I wasn't careful, and I had to be perfectly calm in order to deal with it. "You must let yourself go so your personal power will merge with the power of the night," he said in my ear. He said that he was going to move ahead of me, and I had another attack of irrational fear. "This is insane," I protested. Don Juan didn't get angry or impatient. He laughed quietly and said something in my ear which I didn't quite understand. "What did you say?" I said loudly through chattering teeth. Don Juan put his hand over my mouth and whispered that a warrior acted as if he knew what he was doing, when in effect he knew nothing. He repeated one statement 3 or 4 times, as if he wanted me to memorize it. He said, "A warrior is impeccable when he trusts his personal power, regardless of whether it is small or enormous." After a short wait, he asked me if I was all right. I nodded, and he went swiftly out of sight with hardly a sound. I tried to look around. I seemed to be standing in an area of thick vegetation. All I could distinguish was the dark mass of shrubs, or perhaps small trees. I concentrated my attention on sounds, but nothing was outstanding. The whizzing of the wind muffled every other sound except the sporadic, piercing cries of large owls and the whistling of other birds. I waited for a while in a state of utmost attention, and then came the raspy, prolonged cry of a small owl. I had no doubt it was Don Juan. It came from a place behind me. I turned around and began to walk in that direction. I moved slowly because I felt inextricably encumbered by the darkness. I walked for perhaps 10 minutes. Suddenly, some dark mass jumped in front of me. I screamed and fell backward on my seat. My ears began buzzing. The fright was so great that it cut my wind. I had to open my mouth to breathe.
"Stand up," Don Juan said softly. "I didn't mean to scare you. I just came to meet you."
He said that he had been watching my crappy way of walking, and that when I moved in the darkness, I looked like a crippled old lady trying to tiptoe between mud puddles. He found this image funny, and laughed out loud. He then proceeded to demonstrate a special way of walking in the darkness, a way which he called the Gate of Power. He stooped over in front of me and made me run my hands over his back and knees in order to get an idea of the position of his body. Don Juan's trunk was slightly bent forward, but his spine was straight. His knees were also slightly bent. He walked slowly in front of me, so I could take notice that he raised his knees almost to his chest every time he took a step. And then he actually ran out of sight and came back again. I couldn't conceive how he could run in total darkness.
"The Gate of Power is for running at night," he whispered in my ear.
He urged me to try it myself. I told him that I was sure I would break my legs falling into a crevice or a rock. Don Juan very calmly said that the Gate of Power was completely safe. I pointed out that the only way I could understand his acts was by assuming he knew those hills to perfection and thus could avoid the pitfalls. Don Juan took my head in his hands and whispered forcefully,
"This is the night, and it is power."
He let go of my head and then added in a soft voice that at night the world was different, and that his ability to run in the darkness had nothing to do with his knowledge of those hills. He said that the key to it was to let one's personal power flow out freely, so it could merge with the power of the night, and that once that power took over, there was no chance for a slip-up. He added, in a tone of utmost seriousness, that if I doubted it, I should consider, for a moment, what was taking place. For a man of his age to run in those hills at that hour would be suicidal if the power of the night wasn't guiding him.
"Look,"
he said, and ran swiftly out into the darkness and came back again. The way his body moved was so extraordinary that I couldn't believe what I was seeing. He sort of jogged on the same spot for a moment. The manner in which he lifted his legs reminded me of a sprinter doing preliminary warm-up exercises. He then told me to follow him. I did it with utter constraint and uneasiness. With extreme care, I tried to look where I was stepping, but it was impossible to judge distance. Don Juan came back and jogged by my side. He whispered that I had to abandon myself to the power of the night and trust the little bit of personal power that I had, or I would never be able to move with freedom, and that the darkness was encumbering only because I relied on my sight for everything I did, not knowing that another way to move was to let power be the guide. I tried various times without any success.